I'm thinking this evening about continuing the little thought we had this morning. I hope you didn't go away from service feeling burdened down. The intent was that we would feel encouraged, that since we have lived in the, we have people that want to say something about postmodern and all this kind of stuff, you know, a kind of technical jargon that sometimes I get confused about what people's talking about. But I just like for us to realize we live in an age where we reap the benefits of the impact that Christianity has had on society. We really do. There are other countries that don't have the benefits that we have. Countries that have not been impacted by Christianity. And I don't want to just call out names, but they've been impacted by other religions and practices to the point that what we call atrocities done to humanity, whether it's to women or children or people that are not of the same caste or class, there are people out there in other nations. Think of some of the places that Brother Michael Smith has visited in his missionary travels. And there are people that are looked on as outcast and as rubbish. And it's socially accepted for them to be mistreated. And it is not socially accepted to be mistreated in our United States because of the impact of Christian principles. So, Lord, help us to recognize that we live in a time when it's better than it was back then. I mentioned the song this morning, One Day at a Time, and how I feel like that songwriter, if they were talking about the time when Jesus was here, I believe they was a little misdirected. It's better now than it was when Jesus came into this world. And it's because Jesus came that it's better. So I'd like for us to open our Bibles up to Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter. And I'd like for this to be a time maybe we have a little better understanding. I'm included in that. I want a better understanding. But in Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, in the first verse, it says, "These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb." So, the objective this evening is that we would recognize that not only do we live in a time that's been heavily impacted by Christian principles and we're reaping a benefit, but we're also at a crossroads in our social status in our nation and in the world at large that's been impacted by Christianity. We're in a crossroads situation where if we as individuals and if we as a people, as a nation, don't adhere to the Christian principles, if we don't do the things that support them, what's going to happen is they're going to continue to fade. And where did the Israelites end up after Joshua was gone? We find out that they fell away. They became, ultimately, the Israelite people, God's chosen people, that God esteemed and made a lot of special privileges for them in the Old Testament, ended up carried off captive, all of them. All of them, not just the Israelite nation, but Judah as well. And collectively, we think of them as Israelites or Jews. So here we find in this verse, Moses is saying that there's commandments that God has given, not just at Mount Horeb. You know where that's at? It's also known in the scripture as Mount, what? Sinai. So Mount Sinai, from explanation, I've not been there. I think there's some debate as exactly where it is or where it was. But Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, is a mountain that basically has two peaks or two summits. One of them has been called Horeb and one Sinai. That's an explanation that I've read. It's not something I've been there and somebody said, this is Mount Sinai and this is Horeb. I don't have that liberty to say I've been there and saw it for myself. But here we have it referred to as Mount Horeb, but it is the place where Moses received the Ten Commandments on the stone. And we find here that Moses says that these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. So this is an addition or an explanation or an update to the commandments that were given on Mount Sinai. So I'm not going to read through all of it tediously, but let's turn to chapter 30 in Deuteronomy and notice beginning verse 1. And it shall come to pass when all these things come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. So he's saying, if it comes to pass that you slip away, if it comes to pass that you're not following and adhering to the commandment that I've given you, like you should be, he said, if it comes to this place, and the Lord causes you to be driven out of the land and dispersed, and it causes you to come to a place where you recognize that you're not where you ought to be, he says, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I commanded thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy waters. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Now this last verse almost sounds like something that we'd read in the New Testament about circumcision being that of the heart. All right? So Moses here is telling the people in recording this that the witness is, if you stray away, if you get away from having an ardent relationship, a vital relationship with the Lord, in its conditionals, he says, and shalt return, that verse 2. It says, I'm reading in verse 1 again, it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, And thou shalt call to mind among all the nations. And verse 2 says, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I commanded thee this day. So the condition is, it's not an arbitrary thing that if the Lord finds you carried off in captivity, he's going to arbitrarily have mercy on you and gather you all back up. But here in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, he's saying, there's a condition here. So I believe that we should be able to apply this without going into a lot of details. I believe that we can draw the parallel that today, if you and I recognize that we've allowed some things to slip, if we haven't been adhering to the commandment that the Lord and we would have us to, and we realize that some of the Christian principles have started to crumble and start to fade away, and we're questioning, where's this going, and where are we headed, and how long will it take us to get there? You know, I have a building at my place that has enough deterioration that one insurance company that we checked into about buying a homeowner's policy said, we can't write you insurance on anything you got because that building out there has some deterioration. The roof's in bad shape and it's leaking. All right? Don't have anything real valuable in there, but it's mostly protected from the weather. Not entirely, but mostly. It's got some broken windows, and the roof's leaking. So it's just not a really good building, okay? And they said, because that's on your place, we can't insure your house, because it's got a good roof on it. The company that we do have insurance with will just... You can just select the buildings that you want covered, and the others, they don't care. But we can't make a claim against them anyway. We understand how that works. But this other company, if all of the buildings aren't up to specification, then we can't write you a policy on anything. And we may go along in life and come to the place we recognize that we got a leaky roof. Now, do you know where my leaky roof's going to end up? If I don't fix it, one of these days, might be 5 years, might be 10 years down the road, one of these days, the roof's going to fall in. One of these days, the boards is going to be rotted out. I don't know when it is. I'm not going to stand here and predict that by 2025, the roof's going to cave in and there's going to be a big gaping hole out to the outside. But it'll happen. And you know, sometimes we look on at Christian values and principles and we realize it's got some leaks. It's got some things that's not up to where it ought to be. It doesn't have the same value in people's minds. Why is it? Is it leaky? If it is, here's the condition. Here's the parallel I believe that we can draw in our Christian age and dispensation that we live in. If we'll turn and say, Lord, there's something over here that's deteriorated. It doesn't work like it used to. Here a while back, I found a crescent wrench, adjustable wrench. You men probably know what I'm talking about, maybe some of you ladies. And it was rusty. I don't know how it got rusty, but obviously it hadn't been kept in a sheltered environment. All the chrome finish was gone, and it was just rusty. So I used up some of my time wasn't spare time, but anyway, I used up some of my time and I soaked it with some penetrate oil and I tapped on it with a hammer and I tried it a little, oh, I got the little roller to turn just a little bit. And I tapped it some little more and then I let it set for a while. It set probably a week or two before I went back and picked it up again. And so I sprayed it again and I wiggled and tapped on it a little bit more. And you know, the last time that I messed with that, I got it to roll all the way up and all the way down. And you know, sometimes we can look on and see some of the values and the spiritual victories and powers. You know, we want today, we want there to be deliverance and power in our midst, don't we? I want some old broken down sinners to come in here and say, you know, they got something over there in that little chapel. I want some deliverance like those people's got. And when they lay their hands on me and pray, or when they pray for me, something starts to happen in my heart and maybe in my life. And, you know, don't we want that? But if it's rusty and stuck or if it's leaking, maybe it's time for us to start examining and saying, Lord, what is it? Just like the Moses told the people here, when you realize that you've been carried off captive, you realize that you're not receiving the full benefit, then it's time, if you'll come back, it says in the second verse, and shalt return to the Lord thy God. When we come back and say, Lord, there's something here that's crippled. I'm thankful that I haven't been crippled in my life. I'm thankful that both of my legs are the same length and both of my arms are the same length. But I know what it's like to have some sore spots. Y'all witnessed that this morning. I know what it's like to have a sore toe and it caused me to limp. I know what it's like to have some discomfort to where I'm not able to function like I want to function. And those are the times when we come and say, Lord, I need some help. If we'll come, if we'll return to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to see more power in our midst. Don't push it all off on somebody else and say, you know, if our pastor was where he'd be, things would be different. We're all in this together. You affect me and I affect you. And we're here to get, if we will recognize we need more power in our midst, we need to see more deliverance, we need to be more effective in our efforts as a congregation, then at that point when we come and say, Lord, what about me? I'm just a little crescent wrench. I just got a little spot here in the body, but I know that there's some things that's kind of rusty in my life. If we'll come back and see, what did it say the Lord would do? He said in the fifth verse, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed. What does that mean to us today? We don't need to just point back and say, you know, way back then, when people come amongst the church of God, they witnessed deliverance, and there were some people that got some real help at altars of prayer. We don't need to just point back and say, well, back in Grandpa's day and back in the generation of three or four generations ago, the Lord really anointed the message. The Lord really anointed the services, and people were afraid to try to throw rotten tomatoes at the preacher. Well, we don't have to do that. He says, the Lord will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed. That means that you can have it too. It can be in our generation. And thou shalt possess it, not just point back to it, but we can possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee, what does it say? Above thy fathers. There is potential in the age that we live in. We look all around and see deteriorating Christian principles. Would you agree with that? I do. I see it all around us. People that used to honor someone that bows their head in prayer in a public place. People that used to say, would you pray for me? people that used to have respect for modest apparel. All of that stuff is, it's so far removed that by and large, people don't correlate it with the other benefits that they have. But he says here, Moses told them, if you'll return and ask for it, the Lord will not only restore you, but he says he'll multiply thee above thy fathers. You'll have more success. I like potential. I like to. He'll make a change down in you, in your heart, in your inner man, to empower you to have the things, the goods on hand. You know, in my lifetime, things have drastically changed the way we buy merchandise. I come from a small town, and I remember the times that I would go into the grocery store with my mother, and we shopped in a grocery store in town that had a hardwood floor. How many times y'all seen a grocery store with a hardwood floor? Had a hardwood floor, and the cash register had all those buttons. You know, it had a 0 through 9 for the pennies, for the dimes, for the dollars, and the tens, and the hundreds, and I guess if you spent $1,000, there was a row of numbers for thousands. So the checker looked at every item, and you know, and they punched in 195 and hit enter, and they didn't have to turn the crank. It did have electric motor that stamped it on there. But they done all of those number punching, and when they totaled it up, the cash drawer slid out so they could make change. I went to a grocery store like that. But they sold bologna and shovels and just about everything in between. You could buy bubble gum by the piece. And today, what do? Many times, we decide we need something when the store is closed, and we'll get on Amazon and we'll order it, and it'll show up at the front door. Drastically different, isn't it? But there's still merchandise that's being delivered to us. We're still getting it. You know, Lord, help us to have the goods on hand. You know, we may have somebody, I had one not so long ago. A lady called up. She said, I told her, you know, I answered the phone, hello, number I didn't recognize. She asked me if I was, gave me my name. I said, yes, that's who I am. Are you the pastor at the little church here in Webb City? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she says, I'm looking for a church. It wasn't because somebody knocked on her door. She called me out of the blue. How did you find it? Well, it was on the internet. Well, we got to have the goods on hands when somebody makes contact. Lord, help us to not let things crumble away. Years ago, the only ones that sold the merchandise was the ones that had it. And warehouses are kind of a thing of a past anymore. It's only just-in-time deliveries, how products is delivered now. But Lord, help us to have an inventory, have ourselves in a place where we can deliver. Moses told the people, if you find yourself in a place that's straight away, and you got a rusty joint, and you got a leaky roof, if you'll return, the Lord will bring you into a place even better than your fathers had. So I'd like to go down now, same chapter in verse 16. Beginning, he says, maybe starting 15, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. You know, we're going to have to make a decision. Just like Joshua called the people and said, it's time for you to make this call. Who are you going to serve? Which way are you going to go? let's make a commitment, not just kind of go by the sense of feeling or impression or something like that. And I don't want to get too far off topic here, but I worked for a company. Actually, I worked for a couple places in my life that it seemed like they didn't have a plan in how they hired help. A person could come by that was exceptionally qualified and say, "I'm looking for work," and if they didn't need anybody that day, it was like, "Well, you can fill out an application if you want to," and they could go along for 3 months or 3 years and be in dire need of some help because somebody else quit or because of some other reason, and somebody could come along that didn't have hardly any qualifications and say, "I'm looking for a job," and they could say, "Can you start tomorrow?" And they'd say, "Yep," and they'd show up, and they never went back and pulled any applications out of the file anywhere. It was like they just they made decisions by what was in their front pocket. They'd pull it out and say, "Yep, that's what we need. Let's go with that." Or they, Lord help us to make a commitment, long-term commitment. How do you make a long, where do you want to go? Where do you want to be? That's the question I'm trying to ask us tonight. He says here, verse 16, "In that I commanded thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgment, that thou mayest live and multiply or prosper. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it." Those of you that are young and getting starting in life and all of that, don't you want life to be successful? Nobody wants to end up bankrupt financially, relationship-wise. You didn't make all those plans, those special plans for your wedding day because you intended to dump this guy, to dump this girl. You didn't make those plans for that. You made these plans because you wanted it to last a lifetime. You made these plans. He says here, I've set this before you. He says, "I want you to live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it." You didn't bring children into this world because you wanted them to get involved in damaging things in life. You know, you want them to be healthy. You're concerned about them. If they decide they want to ride a unicycle like the little boy was outside after service this morning, you want them to be careful. You don't want them to crack their head on the concrete. You don't want them to, that's why you don't let them play with matches when they're real young. And that's why you don't let them have sharp knives when they're too young. I cut my finger with a pocket knife. Maybe I was too young and maybe it was just time I needed to learn what a sharp pocket knife was all about. I don't know. But you know, we don't bring children into this world to destroy them. We want them to grow up. We want them to be someone we can point and say, "That's my child over there." And somebody said, "Really? My, they're a fine-looking young person." That's what you want out of your children, isn't it? And that's what the Lord says. "The Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it." I want you young couples to prosper. I want your relationships to be good. I don't want you to be destitute financially. I want you to have a respectable place to live and respectable transportation. And above all of that, I want you to have your spiritual life rooted and grounded. I want you to know where you're going and why you're going there. I want you to put the things in place that will cause Christian principles to radiate out from you. And other people can make the observation, "You know, there's some fine people over there." Heard just recently, we was at Rodney and Jessica's house and was talking with another young man that was there. And he said, "Well, you know, about once a week, a neighbor down the road, they have you know, the police over there. And he said, you know, we come in and we've got our doors shut and their doors are shut, and we hear them yelling at one another. Well, what kind of message is that? Is, you know, if your neighbors can hear you yelling at one another when the doors are closed, and then they find out you go to church, what do you reckon they get out of that? It's not what we want. We want something better than that. And Lord, help us to fix the rusty joints and the leaky roofs. We want the land you go to possess to be prosperous spiritually. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. He says, but if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Moses wasn't going over with them, but he said, if you go over there and possess the land and you stray away, he says, I'm telling you, you're going to perish. You're not going to be successful. It's not going to be peace and happiness to you. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. You want your children to grow up and to be able to look the enemy in the eye and be able to be courageous and face life and face the future? Don't stray away from Christian principles. Don't allow your marriage relationship to deteriorate. Don't allow your life to become a haphazard and, well, I don't know, I know the roof's leaking, spiritually speaking, but I don't know, maybe I'll fix it in 5 or 10 years. You know, after I get whatever it is that I'm trying to do, after I get all of that done, we'll go back and we'll really get our ducks in a row. I'm going to tell you, that's not a good choice. He says, I'm calling you to record today. If you turn away and worship other things, there's going to be heartache ahead. I'll tell you today, I'm old enough to see people that's my age that didn't keep the values in place. And where are they at today? They've got some heartache. They've got broken relationships. They got damaged children. They got roofs that fell in. They got big gaping holes. Now, how attractive is that? To have a roof with a hole in it. You know, I've got tools that used to be real shiny and chrome, and now they're kind of flat colored. And most of the chrome has wore off because my hands and dirt has rubbed the chrome off of it over the many years that I've used them. But they're not rusty. And they're still usable. You know, I don't look young anymore. I can look at the pictures of when we got married, and it's like, man, there's been a lot of change. There's been a lot of water under the bridge. And you know, as time goes on, you may not ever look like me, but you're going to look different than you do now. You can just write that down somewhere. But I'm so glad that I can look on and see the changes that's happened, and I'm not in a heartbreak situation. And you can be successful too. You can go into a land that the Lord will prosper and the Lord can put His benefits on. Don't let those things crumble and fall away. Don't let the values that give victories, that help you work through the unfortunate circumstances of life, don't let it crumble away. It'll pay big dividends. That's what prosperity is dividends. Well, verse 20, I think, will be the last verse I read here. It says, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and thou mayest cleave unto Him. For He is thy life, and the length of thy days, and thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. You know that you can inherit the same spiritual blessings that your ancestors inherited. He says here, not only love the Lord, he says, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. I know that maybe this is not the best example in your mind, but it's what comes to my mind right now. We have a creek down by our house, and I've been swimming a few times with the boys in the creek, and there's something that lives in that creek that likes to cleave unto me when I get in it. It's called a leech. And if I get in there and in the water very long and get out, there's these things that's down around my ankles most generally. And it depends on how long I'm in there is how tight they're stuck. And if they're in there, if you're in there 45 minutes or so and get out, they're liable to leave a little bloody spot when you peel them off. Because they done hung whatever little teeth they got into me. I don't know how they do it. But I'm going to tell you, you can't just flick them off with your fingernail. You got to do some digging and scratching to get them off. Would you cleave to the Lord? You get some roots pulled in there. You start sucking some nourishment out of him. And I believe the Lord will cause your life to prosper. You know, if I'd leave them on there, they'd get bigger. I don't know what they'd do to me, but if I'd leave them on there, they'd get nice and fat off of what they're getting out of me. And if we'll cleave to the Lord, we'll get spiritually fat. And that's good. We'll grow and we'll prosper if we'll cleave to the Lord more than just kind of be in the same water with. If we'll get a hold of him for ourselves, every one of us. You know, there's a bunch of them things can get on you if you're not careful, if you're swimming in the creek. And there's a bunch of us can get on the Lord too. He's big enough for every one of us. I'm thankful for that. I'd like to turn now to Ecclesiastes. The 8th chapter. And I want us to realize that we have to be willing to fix a roof when we realize it's leaking. I'll tell you this much, since it's an old milk barn on my place that I don't really use except park my lawnmower and a bunch of spare parts in, it don't really bother me too much for the roof to not be perfect. But if it was my bedroom, I'd done had it fixed. If it was the kitchen in my house, I'd already have it fixed. It'd be a lot more important to me. And here in 8th chapter of Ecclesiastes, looking at maybe verse 10, he says, "And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity." Isn't it such an empty feeling to know somebody has not lived a good life? And when they depart this life, it says, some had come and gone from the place of the holy. I think of those that's come, whether it's to this chapel, come in contact with righteousness, with Christian principles, and turned and went the other way. Isn't that vanity? Isn't that such an empty feeling? He says, verse 11, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." You know, if I'd have fixed that roof when I knew that it was leaking a little bit, you know, I wouldn't have any deterioration of the wood that's underneath it. It would have recovered, but I didn't. And the end result is I know there's deterioration. I haven't really checked, but anytime the ceiling is drooping a little bit, I know there's some deterioration. "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. When we realize there's something that's not working like it should, the challenge is to address it, to fix it. Don't procrastinate. Don't say, someday. Let's fix it now. Let's get it taken care of. It's essential. If we will keep our experience up to date with the Lord, we're going to pass on something that's powerful. It's easy to have something powerful passed on to you and you not keep it up. It's so easy to enjoy the benefit of a powerful home, of a powerful environment, of a powerful society, maybe even a powerful congregation. It's so easy to just know that when I get there, I'm going to be fed something that's good. Now, y'all know that if I had a choice, I would choose a steak cooked medium over a hot dog any day of the week. I mean, y'all can give me lots of hot dogs. You could give me 10 pounds of hot dogs or one steak. I'm going to choose the steak. It just tastes a whole lot better. And we can go eat steak spiritually and not realize what it takes to produce it. You know what they make hot dogs out of? Either something that's old or scraps. That's what they make it out of. They don't take steak and pork chops and pork loin and all of those uppercuts and make hot dogs out of it. Unless it's a really, really old, tough critter that they're making it out of. Because you can grind hot dog meat up really, really fine and put a little fat with it. And guess what? It tastes just like a good critter made into a hot dog. And we can eat steak and not realize what it takes to get there. And we can enjoy it so much that we eat all the steak up. And then what we're going to put back in the fridge? What we're going to put back in the freezer? I want to challenge us here to eat. If we're up to speed, keep it up to speed. If we're not up to speed, get it up to speed. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to have steak on the menu every time we come together. We're going to have the good stuff every time we come together. Lord, help us to realize the benefit of keeping it up to date and not resting on our laurels. You know, I came from a good home. Sure, my parents had some difficulties. They had some things that I wanted to do different. I wanted to do better in my own life. But I came from a good, solid background. But I'm going to tell you, if I just went on without really applying myself, I know where I'd be today. I'd be a wreck. I'd be a spiritual wreck. I'd be bankrupt spiritually. I wouldn't have a good roof over my head. I got to keep it up. You got to keep it up too. When you see something going wrong, we got to fix it. We got to address it. We got to call it for what it is. Psalms 84, verse 10, and we'll close. The psalmist says here, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." There is a comparison that's done in this verse. He says that a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. A thousand what? We heard some explanation about that, I believe, at Monarch. But is it better than a thousand days doing something else? A thousand years? I don't know. But he says a day with the Lord is better than all of it. A day fully committed to God is better than 1,000 or something else. He says here, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I would rather be in a place where I know God's approval is resting upon my actions than to have a broad array of approval. Are we there? Are we willing to make that kind of commitment and that kind of purpose in our life? I want to be in a place where the power of God. I've saw some things that were powerful in my life. I've witnessed some demonstrations of power. You know, I'll say this to the glory of God. I remember as a young child, I was in grade school and I had a physical problem in my ears. I don't know if I'd have went to the medical world. If my parents had taken me, they might have told me I needed some kind of tubes put in my ears or something. But I had chronic ear infections. And I would run a temperature and a lot of things that went with it, be very, very uncomfortable and a lot of pain and all of those kind of things. And I was a recipient of a powerful hand of God in that. A brother came to our place. His last name was Fox. And he was a big man. And he shoveled a lot of coal in his life. And big hands. I kind of looked like a matchstick up compared to him. But he came to our house, and he got down on his knees, and he prayed for me, and I went off to sleep. And I didn't sleep very long, and I woke up, and I was suffering again. And he done that 3 times. And the 3rd time, I went to sleep, and I slept the rest of the night. But it's better than that. I never had another earache until after we were married. It's been some time ago now. I've had one episode of an earache in my life since that time. Now, I was a recipient of a powerful hand of God through another brother. You know, he knew someone that was older than him that had prayed for a young boy, probably about, I don't know, I think he was even too small to really be walking, maybe like the little baby that's here tonight, that was born with a club foot. And this man that had prayed for this child, and the Lord healed that little foot. And I knew the man that was healed, and he was an old grandpa, and he had 2 good feet, and he walked normal. And the man that prayed for me had knew the man that prayed for the other fella. Now, it got passed on somehow. It wasn't just some kind of get close to me and it rubs off on you. It was a relationship that was got a hold. He cleaved to the Lord, you see, just like that old leech. We might look like a leech compared to God. But he cleaved to the Lord. And the Lord blessed his prayer, which blessed me. Now, where am I at? Where are we at tonight? Are we willing to say, a day in thy courts, better than 1,000? I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I want to be in a place that's in the house of God. I want to be in that environment so that I can not only receive the benefits, but I want to have it in a way that someone else can see the benefit and they want to get it in path. Didn't the Lord promise Moses and the people through Moses' words, if you will turn from any place that you think you might have strayed, the Lord will help you recover and prosper you and your children. Our children will benefit dramatically if we'll have the relationship we ought to have with the Lord. I want to be faithful, and I want you to be faithful. I want to have the power of God working in my life. And I want you to have the power of God working in your life. That's how the world gets changed. That's how Christian principles can create a society that people are blessed and benefited by, whether they know the Lord or not. There are people today that are benefited by Christian principles, and they don't even hardly know who God is in our world today, in our nation today. And they don't realize it. They take all of these benefits for granted, and they're want to undermine the whole idea of belief in God. And I want to tell you, there's a consequence that comes from that. Lord, help us to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. You pray for me.